Hey there, I'm Kendra Adachi, and my show, The Lazy Genius Podcast, helps you be a genius about the things that matter and lazy about the things that don't, and you get to decide what matters. I'm not here to tell you what to do. I'm here to give you a new way to see. Episodes of The Lazy Genius Podcast are full of compassionate time management tips and permission slips to do what makes sense for you. New episodes drop every Monday. Follow and listen to The Lazy Genius Podcast on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
This is the Leftovers Podcast with Derek Kramer.
I'm going to say a stupid thing right now. Pudding. Where's my money?
Frank R. Curry.
I didn't say run through a wall. Do it again? Okay.
And Kyle Powell.
The Sabres were actually in a playoff spot for the entire year.
On WGR550.com.
Welcome into another episode of Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer,
Frank R. Curry,
and Kyle Powell.
And we come at you every Monday, every Thursday on WGR550.com. Thank you for always listening. By the way, your continued support warms our hearts. Usually, heartwarming is better for winter, you know, when it's actually cold, but we don't mind right now either.
Just heartwarming, though. We don't want heartworms. No.
Okay. I mean, yeah,
what?
But what?
Well, we're full send. Here we are. Just staying on brand here.
I figured you would say, like, we want heartwarming, not heartburn.
Disclaimers. Oh, put that on the list, too. Disclaimers okay. Only.
But that one's on. That one's at least better than heartworms.
We're just right on brand, like less than a minute in. Let's just get right to it then, boys. I mean, Kyle just ruined all the sentimental bullcrap there for us with heartworms. Heartworms. Just anything with the worms. Okay, anyway, now that we got that out of the way, I mean, Sabres dev camp going on this weekend. Always fun to see. Dylan Cousins kind of scared everyone a little bit, having to go to the locker room real quick and apparently yakking it.
So that was what it was, huh?
Speaking of that,
we had conflicting reports. It was either a little bit of sickness hovering over a trash can, or it could have been equipment. Either way, he was back.
I would call that. He was just a little bit nervous.
If I wanted to play it off, I'd call it an equipment issue. You know, internal.
Yeah,
equipment wasn't working.
Issue. Yeah,
you know,
internal.
Yes, my stomach equipment wasn't working.
Yeah, so. Paul and Amherst head coach Chris Taylor said he looked a little nervous at first, which is expected.
Yeah,
but speed, showing off the speed. Paul said that he joined Chopin Bulldog yesterday. And he said he was specifically looking for a little bit of herky-jerkiness in Cousins' skating because that's what he had heard from scouts and didn't actually see any of it. He said Cousins looked very, very smooth out there.
Good. Yeah. Good. And, you know, that's going to be a nice little thing for people to look at Dev Camp and the Prospects Challenge when that comes around to Harbor Center as well.
I think the challenge is Saturday.
Yeah, and where it is, it'll be streamed.
Good.
With RJ Duffer on the call.
Yes.
That's what I was reading on Twitter this morning.
Oh, it's RJ and Duffer.
I believe so. I'll have to.
I'm for that.
Refine the tweet I was looking at.
I'm for more Duffer, a former guest of the show. I'm always for more Duffer. And anyone that disagrees is just, I mean, they're a bit wrong.
They're just wrong.
Yeah.
Yep. Know. Sabres confirmed they'll stream the French Connection tournament on Saturday. With Razor, Duffer, and RJ commentating.
Nice.
Yes, that would be that's going to be good. But you know, Dylan Cousins is a nice little thing to check out when you're seeing one of your top prospects that is yet to crack the NHL roster and Alex Nylander not being there. Due to the CBA, Nylander has played 3 seasons, so he is at his discretion whether he wants to be there or not. And therefore, we are not seeing Alex Nylander at Dev Camp. Some may be making a big deal of this. I'm not going to beat around the bush. It's Joe. But I'm not going to go ahead and put Joe on blast for thinking that it's, you know, absolutely insane that Nylander shouldn't be there. To Joe's credit, you have a guy who has yet to really crack the NHL full-time, choosing not to go to a development camp to try to get himself to work better and familiarize himself. Maybe even familiarize himself with some of the newer prospects like a Dylan Cousins.
Mm-hmm.
It would be better optics for him to be there, but I've seen Alex Nylander at development camp at this point. it seems that at his worst, Alex Nylander is going to be a tweener, which is not what you wanted at the 7th overall pick, but he doesn't need to be at dev camp either, I don't think. Oh, 8, sorry. I mixed up Casey Mittelstadt's draft number with Nylander's, didn't I? Because I saw you hold up the number 8.
I think they're both 8.
Oh, okay.
They both were 8, yeah.
All right, then. I don't know where I got 7 from.
Because Cousins went 7.
Sure. I'll admit that was not part of the mistake.
Sure.
But anyway.
I mean, I think because it's obviously because Nylander hasn't been, he hasn't fully cracked the roster, that you want to see him go as much time with the organization, whether that's at dev camp or the prospects challenge and training camp. You want to see him there as much as he as much as possible, because there's still work that needs to be done on him. So yeah, per the CBA, he doesn't have to be there. It's his choice if he wants to show up or not.
It would just look a lot better.
It just looks a lot better if he's
so
there.
Far.
Yeah,
it looks a lot better based on that. But I think I've seen enough of Alex Nylander at dev camp. Last two seasons at dev camp, he's looked fantastic, as he should. So I don't need to make a big deal of this. I do understand that it's bad optics.
Yeah.
But at the same time, let's let some of these other guys thrive now too at dev camp, because I've seen Alex Nylander at dev camp. I don't need to see any more of Alex Nylander at dev camp. I need to see Alex Nylander as a Saber. So I need to see Alex Nylander show up in training camp.
Yep.
So if he wants to not be at dev camp and he wants to not be at the prospects tournament and find a way to not get hurt in the offseason this year, that'd be great. Because then he can focus on training camp and actually trying to crack the roster, which I thought he almost did last year.
I think he almost did.
He almost did it. Because he played really well relative to everything.
Yeah, for Nylander, training camp is more important.
Training camp's more important. Being healthy for it is more important.
Yeah.
And he's been exactly what he should be at a development camp. One of the best players, easily.
Speaking of one of the best players easily, lots of good reports on Tage Thompson, how he looked yesterday.
And that should happen for a guy who's got 2 full pro seasons under his belt. You know, that should be something to expect. Thompson knows he still has things to work on in his game, and that's where the bad optics go on Nylander, for example, is that Tage has played in the NHL for at least half of the season in each of his first 2 seasons as a professional. That's why this doesn't look good on Nylander, is because, well, someone in that same boat is going to dev camp again. And he's looking like the best player in dev camp again. And
taking the initiative.
Taking the initiative, and it looks better that way.
You wonder, too, if this move now that we're seeing in dev camp with Tage Thompson is also a reason why the Sabres demoted him when they did. Because he was on that threshold of 70 games where he wouldn't have been allowed to come back next year and participate
in dev camp.
Just like
Mittelstadt and Dahlin.
Ended up with 65.
I don't think they're looking that forward on it. I just think they finally saw, okay, this isn't getting anywhere. Rochester's going to make the playoffs. We need to see a guy in a better locker room atmosphere than what's going on here with a full-on collapse. And he's one of the guys that we can send down, and we can get a look at other players like an Olofsson or a Borgen, because we'd have a spot going back down.
Mm-hmm.
That clears through waivers, no problem. So I think they were looking at it that way too, which was, let's see what some of these other guys can do. We're seeing the struggles of Tage. We've seen them all year.
Yeah, that other part.
The part that always infuriated me was what the hell Housley was doing in the first place at the start of the season with Thompson, where he sat for, like, what was it, like 11 straight games. He was working as the extra defenseman and getting film work.
Right, right, right.
Like, that is when you should have sent him down. It's like,
yeah.
But no, we've got Dink going on over here saying he's learning in the film room and everything like that. He should be learning by doing. That's what hockey is. You know, it's reactionary. There's a lot to it that does involve some strategy, but you need to be doing something. You can't just be the extra defenseman in practice with, I don't know, friggin' Matt Tennyson and think that's going to be good for your development. So, going back to it, thanks again, Housley. Man. I'm not getting Rex Ryan levels of hate with Phil Housley, but I'm definitely salty right now.
You're on the way there.
No, I'm not, because Rex Ryan still can die of gonorrhea and burn in hell. And I will openly say that on a podcast, no problem.
When and do the Sabres?
I do not wish either of those things upon Phil Housley. I just say good riddance, and why just screw the team up like this?
Don't worry, he's got another.
It's just fresh, I think.
Yeah, it's
Rex Ryan, go eat another dog biscuit for all I care.
Well, don't worry, Housley's got another coaching gig.
Why did you?
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.
Why did I bring up Rex Ryan? Because now I've just got seething rage in my soul. It's not healthy for me to ever bring up Rex Ryan. I think I need to go see a therapist about this.
Arizona comes to Buffalo Monday, October 28th.
Housley's return.
Are we really going to care that much about the assistant coach of the Arizona Coyotes?
Oh, people will.
You know where you live, right?
Yeah.
Will Butcher got booted at a prospects tournament, yeah.
Yeah.
I forget about these things. I'm not going to care about the Arizona Coyotes assistant coach. You guys can.
I'm not going to care.
I'm saying, like, in a broad sense of things. Not you two, because I know you two aren't going to care. But I'm not going to care.
What did you think of his... in his interview,
oh, yes,
saying
that he was unexpected firing.
Yeah, surprised.
I mean,
let's be real. No one expects to get fired from their job.
I mean, some people sometimes do.
Sometimes.
Who? Blue Jays manager
John Gibbons.
John Gibbons had been asked a question about, has he been putting his resume together? And he jokingly went ahead and said, I don't even know how to spell the word resume, so I need some help. I think Gibbons sees the writing on the wall, for example. It was a very, very lighthearted way to deal with that kind of question, because that's a harsh one.
Yeah.
Hey, are you filling out your resume because you need to get a job next year because your team is terrible?
Yeah, how do you spell resume?
Oh, yeah. Well, I don't know how to spell the word resume, so joke's on you. But it's one of those things where, like, some guys could see it coming.
Should see it coming, too?
Yes. I think the reason Housley might have seen this as unexpected is because it was after only 2 years.
Yeah.
That part could be unexpected. That part was one of the few reasons that I was like, maybe don't go ahead and pull the trigger right away, because, well, it looks bad on the organization after you've done that to Bylsma, and you've done it to all these other coaches, blah, 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 blah. No, this is just another one of those things where I get where you could say it in that aspect only, because, dog, you went 31st and 27th in the NHL standings after two seasons. I don't really know. And, oh, by the way, when you finished 27th, you were tops in the league at the point of November, hitting December.
24 games in. Mm-hmm.
And then you were still well in a playoff spot in January, and all you had to do was play 500 hockey.
And then that fateful February homestand.
Where everyone's like, Sabres are great at home.
Where the tone was set with like a 7-2 loss against Chicago.
Yes. Oh, that game. That game sparked the first ever reaction.
I think they came out exactly 500. I remember us debating, can they get 10 points? Can they get 11 or 12 points out of a 14-point homestand? I think it was 7. I think they scratched and clawed to get to 7.
I think so.
I'm looking this up.
I think it was on the dot, February 1st, Chicago came to town, and they were going to be home for the next almost 3 weeks.
There it is, February 1st. All right. So here it was after that. Shootout win, overtime loss, regulation win, regulation loss, regulation win, regulation loss.
They got 7 points.
They got and 7 points.
In that homestand, yeah.
And it ended almost as badly as it started. They lose 7-3 to Chicago, and then the homestand ends
with a 6-2 loss to the Rangers.
To the Rangers. When I suspected that the Sabres might actually be in trouble, I said, if you remember, Frank, if they're hanging near the Rangers, then we have a problem.
Yeah. What were the final three games of that homestand? Teams.
Jets loss. It was Jets loss, Islanders win, Rangers loss.
Oh. Because I remember pointing in the season last year, too, where they ended up going up against Corey Schneider.
Yes, it was end of the season.
Somebody in Alexander Georgiev.
Yes.
They gave Corey Schneider his first win in like 18 starts.
They actually lost twice to Corey Schneider this past season.
I think they got shut out.
I think it was that first game after the homestand because they were in New Jersey.
It wasn't a shutout. It was a four. Yes, because Georgiev was, I think, responsible
for the 6-2 win for the Rangers.
For the 6-2 win.
Yeah, and then they played Schneider in New Jersey.
Who was after Schneider? Or the team?
They played
Florida.
Florida.
And that never goes well for them.
So that must have been James Reimer. Because I remember tweeting about it. Consecutively playing Georgiev, Schneider, and I think Reimer.
And you lose, yeah.
Yeah, this was
dark days.
Very dark days. Yeah, Corey Schneider had 30. That's right, because Schneider let in an absolute muffin from Reinhardt at the center
the
line.
Bouncing goal.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's right. And then he goes ahead and plays shutout hockey the rest of the way for 34 saves.
And that was it.
That's right. I forgot about that part. By the way, it was Reimer who they faced after that.
Ugh.
For the Florida game. And as for the Rangers, that 6-2 loss, you better bet it was Alexander Georgiev making 31 saves.
Georgiev, man.
You got two goals, both by Skinner.
But yeah, Housley, it was unexpected that you...
Yes, fired. Who saw this coming?
Yeah, who saw this coming?
Forget the 7-game losing streak that kicked off March, followed by the 8-game losing streak to almost the end of the season, including losing to Corey Schneider again. Like, the only thing that was sprinkled in that was that St. Patrick's Day shootout win.
Can we stop talking about last season?
Oh my God, that second Schneider game was so much worse.
He's still talking about last season.
Schneider made 46 saves in that second one.
He's still talking.
Holy crap!
Somebody stop him.
But yes, Housley, it was unexpected. That's why this happened, by the way.
I know. That's why I want to stop.
Dingbat said something about it being unexpected.
Yeah, I know.
You started this.
You did.
Yeah, but he continued it.
Okay. It me, guy trying to host a thing. By the way, did you know that the Sabres got shut out in 3 straight games and I had to eat an entire freaking pie?
Yeah.
But hey, remember, Phil Housley, it was totally unseen. Nobody saw this one coming, though people were claiming for your head in like February. But nobody saw this coming. Nobody. Thanks for asking, Ms. Darlene.
Yeah.
So that's why I can never truly be mad at him. Because we were that terrible that we ended up with Rasmus Dahlin.
That's true.
There we go. See? I'm thinking better about it.
So, I'm going to move on from this.
Probably a good idea.
I've been thinking about the last couple days.
Yes.
One, I don't think any offer sheets are coming.
Explain.
It's been all hype.
The only thing positively I've seen on that front is that Devils GM Ray Shiro.
Yes, when he said comments. Straight up, when he straight up says, no, it's stupid to think that teams are afraid of it. You know what they are afraid of, though? Parting with their precious first-round picks.
But that's as far as we've gotten. Still just word, yeah. word of mouth talk.
Did you see the comments about in Elliot Freeman's 31 thoughts, the last one of the year, where there are teams who are afraid of offersheeting Marner because they're scared of what Toronto can do with cap space and four extra first-round picks?
Yeah, you're really kind of just helping a team load up.
Yeah. That's why I don't think Marner's getting an offer sheet. Or any other player.
I could see that part.
Plus...
So then is it time to talk about the penalty for offer sheeting?
I think it's time to talk about a lot of things at the NHL that they do wrong.
Since these first-round picks are so precious, then you're basically negating anybody wanting to do it because that's 4 years in a row where you're not picking a top 32 soon-to-be draft pick.
You see, that is the part I am okay with.
If you want
with.
More inclination...
Yes, if you want more inclination, you should fix the rules. I mean, I remember...
Or someone just step up.
I remember a time where... What was it? Was it the Blues were involved with an offer sheet with Brendan Shanahan?
Yep.
It was the Devils, right?
Yep. So Brendan Shanahan was an RFA for New Jersey at the time, and the Blues...
Had to give up Scott Stevens.
Had to give up Scott Stevens because the year before, they signed another player to an offer sheet.
Hang on. I'm looking this whole thing up here.
And so they didn't have some of the draft picks needed.
Yes, and an arbitrator.
So instead, the Blues gave the Devils Scott Stevens. The rest is history.
The year was 1991. And...
An arbitrator deciding what goes back. There's an idea.
You see, that would be cool.
That is
arbitration
cool.
RFA. You want to go get a guy, you might have to give something up. It might be a prospect. It might be the level of Scott Stevens. If you want to sign a 22-year-old Brendan Shanahan.
Huh.
Yeah.
So what it was because St. Louis signed Scott Stevens to an offer sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to give up the draft picks to Washington.
Right.
And then they did the same thing with Shanahan. So because they didn't have the draft picks from the Scott Stevens offer sheet, the arbitrator ruled that they have to get Scott Stevens.
Just here, take the player.
Take the player that they signed last year with the offer sheet. But yeah, like a lot of this whole, like the RFA rules are kind of broken with this sort of thing. Let's have some fun. Let's make some madness out of this thing. Like, do it.
By the way, it is sounding more and more like, in for Marner, that it all of this is just his agent being like really stupid, and kind of, and there's a little bit.
I mean,
of,
it is an agent's job to try to hype up his client.
Where it's sounding is Marner does want to stay in Toronto, and I think like it sounded like this whole thing with Marner signing an offer sheet or not wanting to play in Toronto because whatever is. Just completely overblown, where Marner might be just be getting bad advice. At the end of the day, that might be it. He's just receiving bad advice from his agent, who's David Ferris, who is notorious for this stuff, because he also represents guys like Josh Anderson, who went through the same thing with Columbus a couple years ago. Andreas Anthonisiou.
Anderson is not...
Right, except they're not on the same level. This is... The level is different, but the concept is the same.
I get what he's saying, though, where you can
Where Anthonisiou, for Detroit, almost defected to Russia.
Yeah. Right.
If you can get that kind of hype for Josh Anderson and Andreas Anthonisiou, then having Marner at your disposal...
Yeah.
Maybe this is where... This agent truly can shine.
And it's also sounding like Marner's own father is telling him. It's telling him you've been, you know, underplayed your whole life. It's time for you now. Now's the time for you to get everything, pretty much.
I still want to see if it can happen.
I want to see if it can happen too.
By the way, did you notice though after the Hurricanes? acquired Patrick Marleau, they sent off Calvin DeHaan in a cap space move.
I did see that. To Chicago you go.
Here's Carolina's convoluted Chicago. Plan. Carolina's convoluted concoction.
But they did also acquire Eric Halla.
They did.
Have this.
I'm sorry.
They let someone offer sheet Sebastian Aho. They offer sheet Mitch Marner. And they get picks back with the Aho offer sheet.
This is deep.
Patrick Marleau gets his son back.
Really?
And the Carolina Hurricanes blow everybody's mind.
But they're going to buy out Marleau.
This is how they convince him. They get his son.
But it's been... It's sounding...
this, okay. Frank.
Buyout.
Two offer sheets involving the same team. Mad. Next level madness.
He's really diving into this conspiracy.
You smell kind of weird today.
Is it skunk-like? We here at the Leftovers Podcast do not condone drug use. We do, however, find it hilarious. There's your PSA of the day.
I think it's a good chance to take on Eric Halla, though.
Oh, absolutely. You're only trading what?
What would be the equivalent
of this? C.J. Smith and a pick?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah. That's a good risk to take.
There was an interesting condition with the fifth. Something about, I think, roster. If he's on the roster.
Him being on the roster, things like that, because he's UFA after next year.
But, yeah, I think it's a good chance to take.
Yeah.
Good risk. 55 points 2 years ago in Vegas' inaugural season.
Yep.
I think injuries helped him in just 15 games last year. Seven points.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Final year of a three-year.
So he's still a half point a game, even with his injury-riddled season.
He's a top-nine center.
Sure.
He's a guy that can help you out in your middle six with scoring. Valuable depth scoring.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you throw a dart at a wall for
Vegas
that sort of
thing. Still has a lot of salary dumping to do, but that's a start.
You know who hasn't been talked about at all with this RFA madness?
Colorado.
Right conference. I was going to go with the team that lost to them in the first round.
Calgary. Matt Tkachuk?
Yes.
Yeah, he's not been mentioned at all.
Matthew Tkachuk is
neither is Rantanen. I know where your head was going.
Well, Rantanen has been. LeBron actually posted an article today on The Athletics saying how it sounds like they're not close right now.
Really?
Which is interesting.
Do you know what his talking price was? Asking price?
It doesn't. He didn't say.
No? Because he's coming off. I remember.
He's coming off a couple really good years.
20 or 30 games into the last season, he was on pace for like a Kucherov-type season.
Yeah. Well, it's because of him and McKinnon.
Yep. Well, him and McKinnon and Landeskog each, I felt like, got the 50 points in like 30 games.
Yeah. It was kind of ridiculous how that line was going off. But yeah, Matthew Tkachuk's a quiet one that I think might get a bundle of money thrown his way. Calgary's got about $13 million in cap.
They also need goalies.
Yeah, how much longer is Mike Smith under contract?
I think they're both UFAs.
Yeah, it's done. It's over.
They have
they're
zero.
Both done.
Yeah. They really
the thing
have
is, now
one
Rittich
goalie, and that's
is also done.
Yeah, Rittich is also a UFA.
He's RFA.
Oh, he's an RFA?
Rittich RFA.
Okay, that's good at least.
The only goaltender on their roster right now is John Gillies.
Yeah. And then everyone else is like prospects. Like they have Tyler Parsons.
Tyler Parsons, and Nick Schneider, and
yeah, Nick Schneider too. Like they got some good goalie prospects, but they're just not there yet.
And Artyom Zagorodny.
Sure.
Mangiapane. One of my favorite names. Scored the first goal for them in the playoffs.
That's how
this
you
year.
Say that?
I think it's Mangiapane.
I'm gonna believe you.
I like
he's an RFA. Like sign a new offer sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many guys do they even have to worry about aside Tkachuk, though? I know they have Monahan and
Sam Bennett.
Yeah, yeah, yikes.
Yeah.
Sam Bennett.
Sam
Reinhardt
Bennett.
Draft?
Hmm? Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right
he
after
went,
him.
No,
it was
he went
Sam,
fourth.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Draisaitl went third.
Yeah. It was right. The question was, you're not getting Ekblad. Are you going to go with Samuel or Samson?
Hi, my name is Lloyd Lockridge, and I'm the host of a new podcast from Odyssey called Family Lore. In this podcast, I'm going to have people on to tell unusual and sometimes far-fetched stories about their families.
I've heard my whole life that she invented the margarita.
And then we're going to investigate those stories and find out how much of it is true.
He gets a patent 1 month before the Wright brothers. Oh my God.
Please follow and listen to Family Lore, an Odyssey podcast, available now on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your shows.
About the last couple days.
Yes.
One. I don't think any offer shoots are coming.
Explain.
It's been all hype.
The only thing positively I've seen on that front is that Devils GM Ray Shiro.
Yes, when he said comments. Straight up, when he straight up says, no, it's stupid to think that teams are afraid of it. You know what they are afraid of, though? Parting with their precious first round picks.
But that's as far as we've gotten. Still just word of mouth talk.
Did you see the comments about in Elliot Freeman's 31 thoughts, the last one of the year, where there are teams who are afraid of offer sheeting Marner because they're scared of what Toronto can do with cap space and four extra first round picks?
Yeah, you're really kind of just helping a team load up.
Yeah, that's why I don't think Marner's getting an offer sheet or any other player.
I could see that part.
So then is it time to talk about the penalty for offer sheeting?
I think it's time to talk about a lot of things at the NHL that they do wrong.
Since these first-round picks are so precious, then you're basically negating anybody wanting to do it because that's 4 years in a row where you're not picking a top 32 soon-to-be draft pick.
You see, that is the part I am okay with.
If you want
with.
More inclination...
Yes, if you want more inclination, you... should fix the rules. I mean, I remember...
Or someone just step up.
I remember a time where... What was it? Was it the Blues were involved with an offer sheet with Brendan Shanahan?
Yep.
It was the Devils, right?
Yep. So Brendan Shanahan was an RFA for New Jersey at the time, and the Blues... Had to give up Scott Stevens because the year before, they signed another player to an offer sheet.
Hang on. I'm looking this whole thing up here.
And so they didn't have some of the draft picks needed.
Yes, and an arbitrator.
So instead, the Blues gave the Devils Scott Stevens. And the rest is history.
The year was 1991. And
an arbitrator deciding what goes back. There's an idea.
You see, that would be cool.
That is
arbitration
cool.
RFA. You want to go get a guy, you might have to give something up. It might be a prospect. It might be the level of Scott Stevens. If you want to sign a 22-year-old Brendan Shanahan.
Huh.
Yeah.
So what it was because St. Louis signed Scott Stevens to an offer sheet.
Mm-hmm.
And they had to give up the draft picks to Washington.
Right.
And then they did the same thing with Shanahan. So because they didn't have the draft picks from the Scott Stevens offer sheet, the arbitrator ruled that they have to get Scott Stevens.
Just here, take the player.
Take the player that they signed last year with the offer sheet. But yeah, like a lot of this whole, like the RFA rules are kind of broken with this sort of thing. Let's have some fun. Let's make some madness out of this thing. Like, do it.
By the way, it is sounding more and more like, for Marner, that all of this is just his agent being like really stupid, and there's a little bit.
I mean, it is an agent's job to try to hype up his client.
Where it's sounding is Marner does want to stay in Toronto, and I think like it sounded like this whole thing with Marner signing an offer sheet or not wanting to play in Toronto because whatever is. Just completely overblown, where Marner might be just be getting bad advice. At the end of the day, that might be it. He's just receiving bad advice from his agent, who's David Ferris, who is notorious for this stuff, because he also represents guys like Josh Anderson, who went through the same thing with Columbus a couple years ago. Andreas Anthonisiou.
Anderson is not...
Right, except they're not on the same level. The level is different, but the concept is the same.
I get what he's saying, though, where you can
where
get...
Where Anthony Seau for Detroit almost defected to Russia.
Yeah. Right.
If you can get that kind of hype for Josh Anderson and Andreas Athanasiou, then having Marner at your disposal.
Yeah.
Maybe this is where this agent truly can shine.
And it's also sounding like Marner, even Marner's own father, is telling him... It's telling him you've been... You know, underplayed your whole life. It's time for you. Now's the time for you to get everything, pretty much.
I still want to see if it can happen.
I want to see if it
can
happen, too.
By the way, did you notice, though, after the Hurricanes acquired Patrick Marleau, they sent off Calvin DeHaan in a cap space move?
I did see that. To Chicago you go.
Here's Carolina's convoluted Chicago. Plan. Carolina's convoluted concoction.
But they did also acquire Eric Halla.
They did.
Have this.
I'm sorry.
They let someone offer sheet Sebastian Aho. They offer sheet Mitch Marner. And they get picks back with the Aho offer sheet.
This is deep.
Patrick Marleau gets his son back.
Really.
And the Carolina Hurricanes blow everybody's mind.
But they're going to buy out Marleau.
This is how they convince him. They get his son.
But it's been...
Let
it's sounding...
this, okay. Frank.
Buyout.
Two offer sheets involving the really, same team. Mad. Next level madness.
He's really diving into this conspiracy.
You smell kind of weird today.
Is it skunk-like? We here at the Leftovers Podcast do not condone drug use. We do, however, find it hilarious. There's your PSA of the day.
I think it's a good chance to take on Eric Halla, though.
Oh, absolutely. You're only trading what?
What would be the
equivalent of this? C.J. Smith and a pick?
Essentially, yeah.
Yeah.
That's a good risk to take.
There was an interesting condition with the fifth. Something about, I think, roster. If he's on the roster.
Him being on the roster, things like that, because he's UFA after next year.
But, yeah, I think it's a good chance to take.
Yeah.
Good risk. 55 points 2 years ago in Vegas' inaugural season.
Yep.
I think injuries helped him in just 15 games last year. Seven
Cheap.
Points.
Yep.
Sure.
Yeah.
Absolutely. Final year of a three-year.
So he's
8.
Still
2.
A half
5.
Point
yeah.
a game.
Mm-hmm.
Even yeah. with his injury-riddled season.
He's a top nine center.
Sure.
He's a guy that can help you out in your middle six with scoring. Valuable depth scoring.
Yeah.
Absolutely, you throw a dart at a wall for
Vegas
that sort of thing.
Still has a lot of salary dumping to do, but that's a start.
You know who hasn't been talked about at all with this RFA madness?
Colorado.
Right conference. I was going to go with the team that... lost to them in the first round.
Matt Tkachuk?
Yes.
Yeah, he's not been mentioned at all.
Matthew Tkachuk is
neither is Rantanen. I know where your head was going.
Well, Rantanen has been. LeBron actually posted an article today on The Athletics saying how it sounds like they're not close right now.
Really?
Which is interesting.
Do you know what his talking price was? Asking price?
It doesn't. He didn't say.
No? Because he's coming off. I remember...
He's coming off a couple really good
years.
20
or 30 games into the last season, he was on pace for like a Kucherov-type season.
Yeah. Well, it's because of him and McKinnon.
Yep. Well, him and McKinnon and Landeskog each, I felt like, got the 50 points in like 30 games.
Yeah. It was kind of ridiculous how that line was going off. But yeah, Matthew Tkachuk's a quiet one that I think might get a bundle of money thrown his way. Calgary's got... about $13 million in cap.
They also need goalies.
Yeah, how much longer is Mike Smith under contract?
I think they're both UFAs.
Yeah, it's done. It's over.
They have
they're
zero.
Both done.
Yeah. They really
but the thing
have
is, now
one
Rittich
goalie and that's
is also done.
Yeah, Rittich is also a UFA.
He's RFA.
Oh, he's an RFA?
Rittich RFA.
Okay, that's good at least.
The only goaltender on their roster right now is John Gillies.
Yeah. And then everyone else is like prospects. Like they have Tyler Parsons.
Tyler Parsons, Nick Schneider, and
Nick Schneider too. Like, they got some good goalie prospects, but they're just not there yet.
And Artyom Zagladin.
Sure.
Mangiapane. One of my favorite names. Scored the first goal for them in the playoffs this year.
That's how you say that?
I think it's Mangiapane.
I'm going to believe you.
I like
He's an RFA. Sign a new offer sheet.
Yeah.
Yeah, how many guys do they even have to worry about besides Tkachuk, though? I know they have Monahan and...
Sam Bennett.
Yeah, yeah, yikes.
Yeah.
Sam Bennett. Sam Reinhardt Bennett. Draft?
Hmm? Yep.
Right? Yeah.
Yeah.
Right
he
after
went,
him.
No, it was he went Sam, fourth.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Draisaitl went third.
Yeah. It was right. The question was, you're not getting Ekblad. Are you going to go with Samuel or Samson? And they made the right call with Samuel not being the pick. And kind of... Like, he got a hot start with his postseason run with Calgary.
Yeah.
But then has very much tapered off. Whereas Reinhardt steadied up.
Yeah, they have the core under contract. Wonder how much longer Giordano, reigning Norris winner.
I think like three or four more years.
Six, three more years.
Yeah.
Hannafin's got five.
Yep.
Brody's on the last year of his deal.
He's been talked about as a guy who could be moved.
Who's that?
Brody.
I can see that.
Lindholm back. Michael Backlund?
Elias Lindholm. Yeah, that's right.
They signed Backlund long term, yeah.
Huge year. Well,
Backlund has been good.
All right.
Like, he's their second line center, and he's been good.
Yeah. Ooh. There's the anchor.
James Neal.
Yeah, if you're selling off TJ Brody, you might have to take on James Neal.
Yeah.
That was a 5-year deal, right? 5 for 6?
Yeah. He's got 4 years on this at 5.75.
That's a Seattle contract.
Yeah, probably.
Probably.
But if you're trying to move it this year,
the first
team you're calling is Ottawa.
Oh, geez. Exiled.
Yep.
Yeah, Buffalo's already got one of these contracts. I do not want to be in talks with Calgary about
this. No. Buffalo's not in any position to receive to get any bad contracts for multiple years.
Yes. 1 year or 2 years?
1 year. No, just 1 year.
Even 2 years.
I would say just go 1 year.
Even 2 years is good with me.
Unless you get something good.
Dude, you're losing the 3.5 cap hit of Vladimir Saboka after this year, and you're losing the $4 million cap hit of Marco Scandella. I think you could deal with 2 years. And Bogosian's $5 million comes off the cap, too.
Yeah.
I think you could take a 2-year crap contract if it means getting a player.
I'd want them to do that with Clarkson. Get his contract and then get someone good from Vegas.
Braden McNabb, Colin Miller.
Colin Miller, that's the one.
Yeah, I wrote down some Vegas names. They're pretty front-loaded on the forward side.
Yeah.
You're not going to get any of those guys outside of maybe...
I had one in mind,
but I didn't even write it down.
The only one I could really see is probably Riley Smith, but that's it. I don't think Vegas is going to go. The biggest question with Vegas' forwards is if Gusev is going to sign there, because he signed a 1-year deal around the deadline, but that made him an RFA this summer. So he technically can be offer sheeted.
Offer Shat.
Sure.
Offer Shat.
But now the question is how much is Gusev going to get? Because he's never played in the NHL. But I think he's like 24 or 25. And he's really good.
Is 26.
26. There you go.
Everybody in their top six has some kind of no movement or no trade.
Yeah.
Except for William Karlsson.
Right.
Which is odd. In his very much acceptable deal. Alex Tuch as well. But Tuch is like your...
Fringe top six guy. Bottom six, yeah.
But I would put him there. Yeah. Stone, no movement. Pacioretty, modified no trade. The rest of these are modified no trade in Pacioretty, Stastny, Riley Smith, and Jonathan Marchessault.
By the way, Karlsson... has a modified no trade that goes into effect next year.
Okay, so it's not here right now. But they're not going to trade him this year. They just signed him.
Yeah.
Very much long term.
So Gusev is very interesting. Because now technically he can sign for however much he wants.
Vegas is in such a bind, man. I've been thinking for...
Dude, they handed out all of the contracts.
I've just been thinking all for the 2 years of their existence, though. They haven't done, I don't think, a good enough job in finding a backup plan for Marc-Andre Fleury.
No.
He's played like 70 games of both of these seasons, plus extensive playoff runs. He's going to be 36. He's going to fall apart. Malcolm Subban is not taking that
next step. Yeah, because it was supposed to be Subban.
That's their
safety. It wasn't even supposed to be Subban. Remember that. It was supposed to be Calvin Picard.
Then Subban was only brought in to be the backup.
Yeah, but Subban then became available via waivers because of Boston, and they took him. I don't think their actual plan has ever been there. Subban became a plan of convenience. Turns out he didn't take that next step after all, and now you're just looking at a mess in net once Fleury walks away. It is kind of strange how
I'm Vegas sorry, I'll be 35. I said 36.
By the way, Marc-Andre Fleury has played in a grand total of 107 games for the Vegas Golden Knights in the regular season. And 134 total. Because remember that first season, all the goalies were getting hurt?
Yep. Yeah, they were down to... Oh, what was my favorite goalie name they had?
It was like
Jacob Legacy.
Legacy.
Was it
Maxime Lagasse?
Yeah, Maxime Lagasse.
Yeah. Right. Dylan Ferguson.
Yeah, Dylan Ferguson. I don't think he got a game, but he was there.
He was there. I think he played, though.
Yeah. Oscar Danks.
Yep.
Yep.
Then he got hurt.
They all got hurt.
Yep.
But yeah by the way.
Vegas' goalie situation's interesting, but they have done one thing, though. That could put some light into that. All three of their drafts, they have at least drafted a goalie.
But are any of them on the way?
Well, so they haven't signed any of them yet. That's the thing. They're drafting goalies. Now it's a matter of one of them developing. But the longer it takes, the more stressed out you are about it.
Man, Subban's numbers, by the way, they're not good. In the two games he played in Boston, by the way, his goals against average was...
Yeah, it was bad.
Above a 5.75.
It was bad.
But I really don't count those. But it's with Vegas. He's got a 2.68 and a 9.10 save percentage in that first season. And then in year two, his numbers got far worse. A 2.93 goals against average and a 9.02 save percentage. That's Cam Ward numbers.
Eek.
Did you know there's another Subban?
Yes, sir.
Jordan.
He's in Vancouver, right? Defenseman?
He was a prospect with Vancouver, yes.
He was with Vancouver. I think he was in Toronto last season. But he's about to be a UFA because they didn't qualify him. The lesser known
Jordan
of the Subban
is a UFA, and he was last with Toronto. Frank is hitting all of this on the nose.
Bring them all to New Jersey.
The youngest Subban has yet to crack the NHL.
Yep.
He has played in four seasons in the AHL. Tends to put points up for a defenseman.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, I don't think Jordan Subban is going to break through like his brothers and crack the NHL. But yeah, they need to do something about Fleury.
I just want to see the Sabres trade for Colin Miller. That'd be really cool.
I want to see the Sabres sign Joe Pavelski, but
yeah, that's probably not going to happen.
Look, you're the one that put that dream in my head, I turned into your friggin' pastor and just spread the love of this idea to everyone else in the studios.
Yeah. It's a good idea.
It's a great thing. So don't kill my dream after you were the one that created it, Frank.
Well, I can't help it if he
don't let your dreams be dreams. Do it. Just do it.
By the way, that whole thing about buying out Patrick Marleau, it is going to happen.
It is going to happen?
Yeah.
Like, we have word.
Jesus Christ. Holy crap.
We're keeping that in.
Yep. That's funny. Chair broke.
Here, take this less crappy one.
Look at this.
Holy jeez.
I just did that and it just fucking snapped.
Oh my god.
I saw actual fear in his eyes.
Oh,
I didn't fall over.
I saw focus in making sure he didn't beef it.
Yeah.
God damn, that was amazing.
His chair.
All right, after Frank almost broke his damn back along with his chair.
Well, the chair didn't make it.
Yeah, the chair didn't make it. Frank somehow survived.
I'm turning just like about to read a tweet, and next thing you know, I'm about to eat it.
Next time, Kyle. Next time. Murder attempt, Derek, jokes aside.
Derek, if you're going to try and kill me, I know you can do a better job.
It was supposed to be just completely innocuous. I don't know what you're talking about. That was a total accident. You possessed the skill to avoid chair death.
Apparently.
Okay, this joke ran its course. Anyway, go read the tweet, Frank. Finish what you started.
This is from at Luke DeCock on Twitter.
I'm sorry, what's his name?
Yes, that's his name.
DeCock?
Yes.
Ducat?
DeCock. That's his name.
Carry on, Francis.
Hurricanes will buy out Marleau. Don Waddell said owe him $3 million signing bonus and $833 split over the next 2 years. Pierre LeBrun, as expected, Hurricanes weren't able to convince Marleau to play for them. The buyout is expected to happen Friday, making Marleau a UFA.
No, sign his son. That'll convince him to play there. All right, then. But anyway, if Joe Pavelski's not going to be a thing, I want you guys to come up with your top three UFA candidates for the Buffalo Sabres. Sorry I'm going on the spot with you guys here, but I always do tend to do this to you guys just for the potential of Kyle's head exploding.
I might today. I'm already a little congested.
Ew, gross. I don't want your snot along with your blood from your head exploding.
Beggars can't be choosers.
I guess so.
Top three UFA targets.
Top three UFA targets.
Not named Little Joe Pavelski.
Not named Dream Scenario. Yes.
All right.
I guess since I came up with it, I should start. Probably the most fair thing to do, right?
Yes.
So what I'll do is I will go with a starting offer for Gustavo. I like Gustav Nyquist. I think he's a very steady player. He always has been. He's like one of those unheralded type of players, but somehow still gets you 50, 60 points every year. I would love to see the Sabres going after Gustav Nyquist here. Nyquist in this past season was making a 4.75 hit. I think he could challenge for 5.5.
I think he's going to get 6.
I think he challenges for 5.5, and some teams, just because he's so unheralded, like, it's just going to happen where Gustav Nyquist doesn't quite hit $6 million. And I think a 5-year deal. Because he's not Panarin, for example. There's Matt Duchene up there as well. There might be RFA wars that we don't know about. But I've always noticed, though, that with Gustav Nyquist, it's always an underappreciation of him. And I think that trend could continue.
All right, so Nyquist.
I would go with Nyquist. I'll go staying with the Sharks. I mean, Jonas Donskoy is a solid mid-six winger for you. And is someone that everyone seems to love. And then the third one, I don't know what's going to happen here. And this is where I'm seeing reports about a possible overhype machine happening. Marcus Johansson. I loved Marcus Johansson as a Washington Capital. He was always one of their better players. Injuries derailed him in New Jersey, and he showed his true form again in the playoffs for Boston. Johansson was making 4.5 in his last couple seasons in New Jersey. And his contract was one of the reasons he had to be shipped off from Washington. Because of his playoffs, I don't know if he's going to get a spike. But if that's the case, same thing. I'm going to say 5.5 is my max on Johansson, especially with the injuries lately. But I would love to have this guy. He's a guy who can solidify your middle six and probably be a staple for you on the second line.
Maybe, yeah.
And can play any position if asked. He's not a natural center, but he has done it.
All right.
And that would allow, say, Casey Mittelstadt to develop properly and be the Patrick Berglund that Berglund wasn't. Just a thought. Just a friendly thought. Just to recap, Gustav Nyquist, Jonas Donskoy, Marcus Johansson. If you copy me, I'm okay with this because these are great ideas. So is Joe Pavelski. Sign Joe Pavelski.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
The sign Joe Pavelski.
That one more.
The sign Joe Pavelski fan club. There it is, another fan club.
All right. I'll do my three.
Do it up.
I do like Donskoy, so he's one of them.
Like I said, everybody loves him.
Yeah, I think solid middle six player. He's got speed.
The eyeball community loves him. The analytics community loves him. Who doesn't love Jonas Donskoy? Apparently the Sharks.
My second one, Matt Zuccarello.
Dallas hasn't signed him yet.
He has not signed him. And I
holy crap, they haven't signed him yet.
Dude puts up points. He had 40 and 48 this year before he got injured in his first game in Dallas. But
there is something to say though about Matt Zuccarello and his availability.
Yes.
People give crap to Jeff Skinner about not playing all the damn time.
But when he's out there, dude scores. He's got a little bit of an agitator side to him, too. He's very annoying to play against.
He's also very fast. I'm actually surprised the Stars didn't have him locked up yet.
I mean, they might, but if they don't, like...
Like it hasn't been done now.
Yeah. But my...
So last year was just a rough year for him.
Yeah, it was... It was.
He was banged up throughout...
When he was playing, he was good. He had 40 and 48. He only played 48 games, but he had 40 points.
He had 37 and 46 with the Rangers and then got derailed in his second game with Dallas. Because I remember...
He played well in the playoffs.
I remember every joke, though, on Twitter was, "Hope, no takebacks."
Yeah. And my third guy, who I'm surprised isn't really getting...
By the way, 11 points in 13 playoff games.
He was good.
Dude gets his.
I'm surprised he hasn't been getting much talk because I think he's still expected to re-sign. Anders Lee.
I've been a fan of Anders Lee. And I thought, strangely enough, that the Eberle contract was going to be a helpful piece.
I'm wondering how much of Brock Nelson getting re-signed for $6 million is affecting that.
Right.
But I mean, like, I'm still not the fan of having the Sabres go for that long term, sign a guy for like 5-6 years. That's why I wanted Joe Pavelski, because I don't think he's gonna sign for more than 3. But I don't think they're getting Matt Duchene at all. I think for Duchene it's down to 2 teams. Nashville and Montreal. So I don't think the Sabres are going to have that, even though he would be a really good fit. I think a guy who skates well, he could be a net front presence. He can play second power play, where he's played a lot for the Islanders. Anders Lee scores goals. He hit 2 years ago, he had 40 goals. This year he had 51 points, and he was also the captain. But you know, if he doesn't re-sign with the Islanders, take a chance. You can, that'd be the guy I would sign to a 5 or 6 year deal. Give him like $6 million. You know, you just hope that he doesn't become Kyle Oposo because you're signing another former Islander.
Mm-hmm. That would be such an odd situation for New York. How many times have you seen your longtime captain leave you and go to Toronto, in this example, John Tavares, two off seasons ago, and you replace him, and that captain potentially walks out the door?
Seems like it's something, though, that they are well aware of. And maybe they just hand the keys to Matthew Barzal now.
Which I don't think would be a problem at all.
Yeah,
not a problem.
But I just think that's very interesting. And he almost made my top three. I was considering Anders Lee, but I would have to stick true to my word. And my word has been, Duchesne, Lee, these top tier second line center that would fall behind Eichel, I would be going against my previous word if I were to put them on a top tier list, because I've said before, you don't want to crutch middle stat. A guy like that, in my eyes, would be doing that.
All right. Yeah.
So, well, that's Kyle, the thing that...
Let's get Kyle's three. We got to get a dummy of the week and get out of here, man.
Okay. Or my top three. This thing. Different. I do have Donskoy.
Okay.
As my
like I said,
one,
who doesn't like Jonas Donskoy?
Right. I don't think you can go wrong with Donskoy or Nyquist. A couple appealing options on the West Coast for you. Secondly, this is a little different. I went with a short-term center, a little older. Derek Brassard.
Right, because I'd mentioned...
Yeah, we've talked about
I'd mentioned
him.
About Derek Brassard as a backup to the backup of Pavelski, as the backup to Duchesne.
2-3-year deal. Guy was just in three organizations last season. You can buy low on him.
Yes. And has played second line
I'm center. Here for buy low guys.
Yes. Is another buy low guy on your list here?
Yes, it is.
I think I know who this is.
Who be this?
I don't know. Is this a former Flyer?
It is.
And I'm okay with this option.
Wayne Simmonds. Look, he appealed great in Philadelphia for parts of, I think it was 7 or 8 seasons. You know you have a community and a mass populace here in Buffalo that still likes those grit and grindy guys.
Yes.
He'll give you a fight every now and then. Barring he's healthy, he's going to give you nice power play 2 minutes. You got Sam Reinhart, net front presence on power play 1. He can lengthen. He can play third line minutes. He's playing third line minutes in Philadelphia. You can chalk him up on the second line if you need to. He will be that physical presence that people have been yearning for. He can still offer you 30, 40, maybe 50 points if you get enough juice out of him. He's not going to be expensive. And, I think he can still do a lot for you. I know he's going to go into his age 32 season, but that's another buy low candidate that I feel like for a short term might appeal to both sides. He can still
for
give you scoring.
While, Wayne Simmonds has been
30 goals. He was good for 25 to 30 goals for a long time.
Yeah.
And was a great net front presence. When he was hurt last year, JVR stepped in. They had two net front presence guys. And when Simmonds went down, you had another guy there. And it could turn into a Simmonds-Van Riemsdyk turns into Reinhart-Simmonds.
Outside of his rookie season, he has gotten you 30 points at minimum every year.
30 goals, I want to say, 2 times?
Twice, back-to-back.
Yep.
And those were rather recent, 2015-16 and 2016-17. And he was flirting with it the 2 years beforehand, where he had 29 and 28. But even his first season in L.A., 23 points, then 40, 30, 49, 32. Those last two I mentioned were just when he came over from L.A. to the Flyers. Then 60, 50, 60, 54, 46. And then last year's stinkerella when he went and got a whopping 3 points in 17 games in Nashville for a total of 30 points.
That's my biggest thing is...
He is going to be at the buyest of low.
Yeah,
he if was. You can buy him low... He was making less than $4 million in Philadelphia.
Really, yeah, if you can...
But if he actually put points up for the rest of the year, he'd be able to make some money.
That's what I'm saying.
My biggest
worry... That Nashville time was, by God, awful.
My biggest worry is how much has he continued to fall off a cliff? Because... Players who played the style that he does tend to fall off a cliff around that age.
He's not going to get a long-term contract.
No. That's why the buy low, I like that. If you do that as a buy low, like if you sign him to like a 1 year, $3 million, I'm fine with that.
I'm all for buy lows because the market isn't that strong this year. I feel like one team is going to overpay on Matt Duchesne.
Yes.
You have a couple Nashville. Other options at the top.
Nashville. Probably Nashville, who just
probably
got
Nashville.
That.
Nashville's probably going to give them $10 million.
I'm all here for buy lows. You've got the core of this team intact. If you buy low for a couple of years and have role-playing guys in that bottom six just for screaming from the heavens, just for depth. We thought we had a little bit of it last year when trading Ryan O'Reilly for three, eventually four players. Just something of NHL caliber in your bottom six. It just looked like something that was promising, and it wasn't there. But I'm all for trying it again with guys who are a little more proven than Sabocha and Berglund.
Yeah.
And Wayne Simmonds, if you're listening, if you come to Buffalo, fight Vladimir Sabotka, take number 17. I don't care how long you're in Buffalo. I'll buy your jersey.
What if he ends up just being the nice guy that he is and he goes with 71?
Well, then, damn it.
Are you still buying it?
I don't know. It's not.
It's a Wayne Simmonds Buffalo Sabres jersey.
But it I'll probably a... be. I'll fine. If it's 71, I'll do it.
Ugh. All right. Funny, though, how the story connects for the final segment.
You're welcome.
Because Wayne Simmonds was involved in a trade deadline deal for my nomination of
the Dummy of the Week.
Dante, I'm trying to fight these demons, but I'm dummy thick and the clap of my ass keeps alerting them.
That's right. The Dummy of the Week, boys. We're here. We've made it. It's my favorite time of the week all the time, except for the one time that I actually ended up being the Dummy of the Week.
That was the best one.
No, that was not the best one.
It was the best one.
It involved me trying an orange vanilla Coca-Cola.
Yeah, that was not good. That was the best one.
That was not the best one, because I had to try that monstrosity.
Yeah, but it was still the best one.
Well... anyway, this one is probably just as good.
Yeah.
And based on planning before the show, we have a competition. I'm going to use this transition as the player that was used, one of the players that was used in the trade for Wayne Simmonds to go to Nashville was Ryan Hartman, who, by the way, Nashville traded a first-round pick for. Nice job, guys. Too bad this segment wasn't alive back when that trade was made. Funny enough, Hartman got more points in Philadelphia, doubled up Wayne Simmonds in his time in Philadelphia than Simmonds got.
And fought in his first game.
Yes. But Ryan Hartman was traded again. This is something that's become quite a frequent occurrence for Ryan Hartman. The thing is, Ryan Hartman is off the grid until Saturday. The Flyers traded him to Dallas in exchange for Tyler Pitlick. Ryan Hartman is off the grid in a remote area in Canada fishing with no phones. This according to his mom, Kim Hartman. Ryan Hartman does not know he has been traded. His mother has been fantastic on social media with this whole saga and is... to one point here now, it was very hilarious. Just all of the stuff with Ryan Hartman's mom on Twitter been fantastic. Even including a tweet saying, call your mom or text your mom because something's happened.
That is beautiful. Then
4 days later, she responds to the tweet again saying, he still doesn't know. And it's kind of hilarious.
Fantastic momming.
Now, I am all for escaping from your phones and everything like that. But Ryan Hartman, you are getting nominated for the Dummy of the Week because of the fact that you should know that you being traded is a frequent occurrence lately. This is the fourth team in the last year and a half that Hartman will be a part of with Dallas. And Dallas, by the way, didn't qualify him for an offer sheet, which means now he's a free agent.
He could be on another team by the time he gets back.
Dallas didn't really count. But my thing is, you being traded is a very frequent occurrence. Therefore, that is my nomination for the Dummy of the Week. Frank, you tell me that you have something else to fight this?
Well, it was the David Ferris with all the Marner stuff and what he's trying to do with Marner's contract, and even throw in Marner's father, Paul, in that as well, which is how the contract's been going, with potential for an offer sheet when it doesn't seem like there's going to be one for Marner because he does want to stay in Toronto.
That one's not nearly as fun.
It's not nearly as fun as Hartman, though.
As bleeping off into Canada and just going fishing and being removed from the world when your world is going to change the minute that you get your phone back. I can only imagine what his phone's going to do when he turns it on. And getting,
yeah, seriously.
And it gets into a place where there's actual signal and service. It might actually explode. So, Kyle, which one are you picking for the dummy of the week?
Ryan, buddy, if you're listening, you can't be listening. Your phone's off. Enjoy being a Dallas Star, because come Monday, you might be insert team here.
There you go.
And answer your phone. Your mom is very worried.
And there it is.
Ma.
Ryan Hartman has won, I guess, the Jerry Sullivan Dummy of the Week.
Has he figured out that he's been traded?
He might not have. I mean, there might be smoke signals going on. Is there a carrier pigeon sending him a letter that he's been traded? I love this segment. It speaks to me so well. Wait. Yeah, no, I'm staying with it. It's my brand at this point. I picked Ryan Callahan in an opening day roster draft, and 10 minutes later, he was gone forever.
Things you hate to see.
Things you hate to see.
Yeah.
Literally that. Since it was a week ago, I guess I could have been nominated for this, but that was more bad timing than literally anything else.
You can't win them all.
Can't win them all. Like me, ever. I can't really win a lot of things. So there's that always as well.
Wait a minute. So Ryan Hartman's 24. This is his fourth team?
In a year and a half.
Okay, so this is getting into Edwin Jackson territory. That's my new thing. Dummy of the week, Ryan Hartman. Still has a lot of career left. Let's just get him on as many teams as possible.
Lee Stepniak this?
Sure.
Oh, my God. How many teams has Lee Stepniak been on?
Almost all of them.
The Big Four record has to be Edwin Jackson. He's a 14. When he joined Toronto a month or so ago.
Lee Stepniak ended up on, let's see it. 2, 3, 4, 5.
This is counting with Derek.
7. Yes. Bad math radio. 10. He had a double stint with Boston.
So 10.
10 for Lee
Stepniak. That is the unofficial number to beat.
But how many did Jackson?
Edwin Jackson?
Yes.
Toronto was his 14th. NHL, though. We'll go with 10 and potentially go off from there. Yeah, 24 years old. Ryan Hartman.
Yes, Lee
Stepniak. A lot of miles.
Lee Stepniak played in 10 different organizations, over 100 games with half of them.
A lot of miles in that Capital One Venture card.
Indeed. I'm now genuinely curious as to how many times he's played 82 games with one team.
Get him to Buffalo.
He's done it twice. Phoenix, 2010-2011, and Carolina at age 33.
Oh.
Yes. And then this past year, he was traded to Boston. That's the journey of Lee Stepniak. Western New York native Lee Stepniak. All right, guys.
Good show. Lots to talk about.
Lots to talk about. And I will say this, though. It's always fun to end up screaming something loudly at the end. It's therapeutic for me, I should say. Next week's going to be a little odd for you guys. Because, I mean, for us as well, too, I guess you should say. But we have no idea when we're going to record the Monday podcast. That is in development. Because, well, the NHL free agency is happening.
And we want to give you guys a little more time. Us, us as well to have some more reaction on more
signings. Yes, proper reaction in proper due time. The other one, we usually record Thursdays. There's a certain thing that goes on this next week Thursday.
Yes.
Yes, it might have something to do with that American flag we're looking at right here. The little guy parked up in one of these microphones. So, I don't know if either you feel like coming in. I don't care. But that is also in development. Frank's actually going to be working.
News does not sleep.
Look at that. Frank is all about working them holidays.
Yay.
So we have no idea what's going to happen for you for next week. We're going to try to make sure that Monday's recording comes out. If not on Monday night, it will be released on Tuesday morning. And then after that, well, we'll see what happens for the rest of the week, what we might try to adjust for the 4th of July day on Thursday next week. I'm good with the words sometimes. Thank you for listening to the Leftovers Podcast. Derek Kramer.
Frank Arcuri.
And Frank fell off a chair.
Almost. Almost. Didn't happen.
And Kyle Powell.
There you go. And yes. And as Kyle just said, I mean, this was a pretty good one. Frank almost fell off a chair.
So excited to break you people, almost. Patrick Marlowe's.
Yeah.
Buyout news.
That he broke the chair.
No. The chair couldn't handle the news.
No. I'm going with you were so excited you broke the chair. We're going with that. That's the story, and it ends now.
Why does it feel like nobody really gives us the inside scoop? Join us on The Powers That Be, the podcast where insiders from Puck break down who has influence, how they use it, and what it actually means for you. New episodes every weekday. Listen to The Powers That Be wherever you get your podcasts.